Appreciate you. Well, if you appreciate the Lord tonight, say amen.
Amen.
I sure appreciate the Lord. And I'll say this. I do echo what Dr. Jenkins just said. The Lord makes no mistakes. And we got in, Jessica and I landed late last night in RDU. And we were just landing. We've been in Montana for the last week. And we just landed, and that was when Dad called, or right when Dad had, you know, found out everything that had happened. And so we went to the ER and got to spend some time there last night. And then we went back about 3 hours later. And then this morning we obviously were there. And then this afternoon we were there. And Dr. Jenkins just so happened to be there. And Brother Steve Parrish, a preacher from Mississippi, says it like this, that the Lord's in the setup business. And He makes no mistakes. And here's what I'm learning, that when I cannot trace God, I can still trust God. When I cannot see what He's doing, I can still trust that He is indeed moving.
Amen.
And I so appreciate that. And I ask you to help us pray. I know that many of you pray already. I pray that you've heard the good report. I was part of a youth camp 2 weeks ago, and we saw 42 young people make a profession of faith. And absolutely a move of God. And we don't ever want to take that for granted. And you pray for us because we head home. We're leaving tonight. We're going to Hickory. And that's where Jessica and I live now. We'll head there. And then we've got Brother Eric. We've got 4 more youth camps to preach in the next couple of weeks. And so you be praying for us on that. And we're excited. I'll say this. I know Dad would say this, but we sure appreciate the prayers for Papa. And we were in the ER this morning at about, it was about, 5 o'clock, Mom. And Papa was in there, and just be honest with you, he was really struggling. And we walked in, and it was amazing to just sense the presence of God in a hospital room. And I've heard about it, but I've never experienced it. When it's your Papa, it's a little bit different than when it's everybody else's Papa. And we walked in, and I felt the presence of the Lord. And I looked over at Aunt Sherry and I said, Aunt Sherry, it sure helps that he's lived the life that he's lived. It makes this a little bit easier, doesn't it? And Brother Mike, if he were to go, we'd shout, but we're going to shout if he stays. Because the God he served his my entire life is the God that he still serves tonight. And he may not be conscious of that, but God is conscious of him. And that's kind of what I want to preach along tonight. Grab your Bible. And go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 8. Psalms, chapter number 8. And Dr. Jenkins asked me this in the ICU lobby. He said, would you stay and preach for me tonight? And I'm like, well, I mean, any opportunity I get to preach, I'll preach anywhere I'll get. If it's a street corner, if it's a coffee shop, I'll do wherever the Lord lets me. And my wife can holler amen to that. Preach is in my bones, and I appreciate the opportunity once again. Psalms chapter 8, when you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Why don't you stand to your feet tonight for the reading of God's Word and stretch your legs a little bit. I will not be before you long. Psalms chapter 8, the Bible says in verse number 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. And verse number 4 is going to be the text I read to you tonight. It's really strong on my heart, this first question. Now, the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Man, I feel the Lord on that. Thank God for the Son of God.
Yes.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. And whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Go back with me to verse number 4. Now I want you to read with me this first question out loud tonight. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? One more time. I don't think we're quite getting it. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And tonight I want to use that little question and I want to preach to you for the next little while on this thought. What are the odds? What are the odds? Let's pray together. Brother Mike, you lift your voice and pray for us tonight.
Lord, thank you so much for loving us, Lord. And Lord, thank you for bringing us here. We're at this appointed time, Lord.
Help us, Lord, tonight. Give us what we need.
Lord, I pray you anoint my preacher with power, Lord. Lord, help us just to preach the word of God with truth. Lord, help us to be receptive, Lord. Help us, God. We need your help tonight, Lord. We are needy people.
Yes.
Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, we pray.
Amen. You may be seated tonight. I want to jump right in very quickly tonight. We're obviously in the book of Psalms, and the Bible says that this is a psalm of David, the chief musician it's upon Gittith. And I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, the memory of this psalm. The first two verses of this Bible, or of this psalm, if you will, when you read it, is like David is looking back on something. It is like David is recalling in his mind something that has happened in times past. I want you to notice in the memory of this psalm, I want you to notice the foe of this psalm. The Bible says, look with me before verse number one, if you have a Bible like mine. It says before the verse number one, it says, to the chief musician upon Gittith. And that word Gittith there is the translation in Hebrew, and it simply means this, that it could be written to the chief musician of Gittite or of Gath. So this is what would happen in those days. David is writing this psalm down, and while he's writing this psalm down, they would make a melody to this song. They would make a rhythm so that they could sing this song. And the rhythm to this song was found in a little place called Gath. It was found in memory of this Gittite, if you will. So as David is writing this psalm, and he begins to explain the, oh, great is our God, and how excellent is our God, and how excellent is His name, and how big is our God. David is remembering that there was a day in his life when he fought an enemy that was very big. We are reading this psalm tonight, and we find that David is recalling the day in which he fought against a giant that was much bigger than himself. Because if you'll recall, that giant by the name of Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter number 17 was from a little place called Gath. He was Goliath the Gittite. So as David here in Psalm chapter number 8 is talking about how excellent is the Lord and how big is the Lord, he is reminding himself of the enemy that he did face one day. And you say, Brother Joe, what are you getting at? I'm saying this. I'm not singing that Psalm chapter number 8 because I've defeated Goliath. I'm singing Psalm chapter number 8 tonight because the Lord Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave 2,000 years ago. That may not excite you, but it sure excites me tonight. It may not crank your engine, but it sure cranks my engine tonight, because I know who I was when Jesus found me. I was nothing but a 9-year-old little boy on my way to a devil's hell. I hadn't done much in my life, but I had done enough. I had never drank liquor at the age of 9, but I had done enough. I had never said many cuss words at the age of 9, but I had done enough. I never smoked dope at the age of 9, but I had done enough. And can I say this, Brother Eric? The same grace that saves the drunk off the street and the same grace that saves the drug addict out of the penitentiaries is the same grace that saved a 9-year-old little church boy. He didn't save me from some things. He kept me from some things when he saved me. I'm so thankful tonight that I can shout, because there was a day on a skull-shaped hill called Calvary when they hung the Son of God high and they stretched him wide, and the greatest giant that we had ever seen, called the devil, called death, hell, and the grave, was defeated once and for all. Why do you shout, Brother Joe? I shout not that the demons are subject unto me. I don't shout because there's power in what I do. I shout because my name is written in the Lamb's book of life tonight. I'm not shouting anything that I've done. I'm shouting because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. That's why I shout. Notice the foe of this psalm. Then notice the fight. Look at me, verse number 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained, what's that next word? Strength, because of thine enemies. And thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. I wrote this down. God is so great that he can entrust praise to infants and children and still never be robbed of glory. Did you read that verse number 2? It says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. You know what babes are? Babes, the Bible, that lingo, that means that those are the children that would run around the church house. They don't know much, but they'd run around and they'd cause chaos. Then the Bible says they're sucklings. Those are the babies that haven't even been weaned from their mother yet. And the Bible says that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength because of thine enemies. What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? I'm saying this, that God's glory is not displayed in God's glory is displayed tonight in who He is, but then God's greatness is displayed in who He uses. Isn't it amazing that God can take a little baby and still receive maximum glory to His name and honor because He is God and He changes not? Isn't it amazing tonight that out of the mouth of sucklings, little babies that cry night after night and day after day, God can still receive glory even out of something that small because He is that great. What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? I'm saying this. The power is not in the praiser. The power is in the one who's being praised. How can David write this in verse number 2? Well, if you recall, David stands before Goliath and one day he walks into Saul's tent and Saul says, "You're but a youth." And he a man of war from his youth. And David walks out on that battlefield that day. And he says, "Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword, with a shield, and with a spear. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiest. And this day has he delivered you into mine hand." What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? I'm saying this. Isn't it awesome that a God that is so big that we preach that God, right? Yet, babes and infants, if they were the only ones in the world, God would never be robbed of any glory. So let me ask you something. Why is it we come to church week after week and we sit on our church pew like bumps on pickles? Am I preaching it right? Dr. Jenkins can get up here and preach till he's blue in the face on the size of God. And here's what Baptists do. I shall not be moved. You hear me? If you don't shout over the God that we serve, you ain't got nothing to shout about. You say, "Brother Joe, I don't really like shouting. I've never really been much on shouting." Don't go to heaven, because every time I read in my Bible about heaven, there is a great multitude. And the Bible says there is a great shout. Matter of fact, we shout because the rapture, we get excited that the rapture is going to happen one of these days. You want to know how we're going to know to get out of here? There's going to be a great shout. What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? I'm saying this. There is a foe of this psalm. There's a fight of this psalm. Then notice the friend. What does the Bible say, verse number 2? Thou hast ordained strength because of who? Thine enemies. Notice that word ordained there. That word ordained means to freely give or to willingly give something without seeking something in return. Here's what this psalm says. The psalm says that because of the enemies, God gives strength to conquer them, and He does not expect anything in return. My goodness, that's a helping me. I don't know if that's a helping y'all like it's a helping me. God gives us the ability to conquer everything in front of us, yet He does not expect anything in return. How could you not serve a God like that? How could you not want to worship a God that literally gives us everything? He gives us the grace to get saved. He gives us the ability to get saved by the grace of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He gives us the Holy Ghost and the power to conquer the enemies. And yet we squander the opportunities that God's given us. These babes, these children who play in the streets, will quickly take your place if you're not careful. Brother Mike, you want to know something I'm learning? Lord's letting me travel this country. If you miss your opportunity to serve and praise God, God's going to give your opportunity to somebody else. You don't believe that? Look at Saul. What happened to Saul? Saul had God on him. There wasn't a nation that could oppose Israel. And Saul got to squandering the gifts that God had given him. And guess what happened? Another man had to step up and take his place. because he decided, I'm going to forget everything God's done for me. You hear me? If you don't take your opportunity, you'll miss it. And somebody else will get your blessing. Brother Kelly, you know what I'm foolish enough to believe? If this individual ain't going to take the chance, I'm going to. Because I want the blessing from it. You cannot believe that if you don't want to. That's the Bible. That happens all through the Bible. One person misses it and another person gets the blessing because they stepped up to the plate to do it. David stepped up to the plate. We notice this friend. This one that ordained strength. The one that gave David the ability to conquer this foe. The crybaby Moses brought Egypt to her knees. The birth of Samuel was used by God to save Israel. The cry of a newborn on the backside of Bethlehem, a little place called Jerusalem, brought salvation to all the world. What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? If you don't do it, God will use a baby too. Did you hear me? If you don't do it, God will use a baby too. And isn't that a shame?
Sir.
Matter of fact, if God don't use us, He'll use rocks. Because the Bible says if we don't cry out, the rocks will.
Right.
What? Listen, I'm not being ugly. I'm telling the truth. If you don't shout, somebody will. Brother Joe, I don't have nothing to shout about. What? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have your sins been washed away? Do you still have air in your lungs? Do you still have a song in your heart? Do you still have a Bible in your hand? Then, honey, you've got something to shout about tonight. I wish I could make you shout like I wanted you to, but you hear me? Until God really gets real in your heart and God really gets real in your life and God begins to flex His holy arm, you'll never have any reason to shout. But I'm just foolish enough to believe that if some people would say, if nobody else is going to step up to the plate and if nobody else is going to do it, I want another reason to shout for God. I want another reason to live for God. I want another reason to go another day. I want another reason to pray another prayer. You hear me tonight? There is a fight. There is a foe. But I'm so thankful that there is a friend in the backside of the shadows that sticketh closer than a brother, who ordains strength that we can overcome them that come against us. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I'm thankful the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm thankful tonight that God will give us what we need to conquer our foe and to win our fight. That's the memory of the psalm. Then notice this, the motive of the psalm. Number one, David, I'll run through these quickly. David wanted to example that God uses helpless and weak to defeat His enemies. David was but a youth when he defeated Goliath. Wanted to example, but then he wanted to explain. David, once again, make sure it was not him that did it, but it was God. Who else could use a youth but God to whoop a giant? Am I telling it right? Who else but God could use a youth to whoop a giant? And yet, many of us, day by day, week by week, we never give God an opportunity to use us. I want to ask you something tonight. Do you really ever feel like you've really been used by God to do something for Him? The question is not, does God want to? The question is, will you let Him? David, listen, I know he was the anointed king of Israel, and it was the providence of God that got him there. But Hunter, I'm foolish enough to believe that if anybody else would have walked in that tent where Saul was and said, give me that sword, I'll go fight him, God would have used him. I am that confident that's how bad God wants to use us. The problem is, none of us want God to use us bad. Oh yeah, God, God can use anybody He wants to. Okay, why don't you let Him? We can shout because God can use a little boy by the name of David and a young man by the name of Samuel at an early age. We shout because God can use a man by the name of John the Baptist and Peter and Paul and James and you fill in the blank. So why aren't you letting God use you?
Amen.
Let's get down where the rubber meets the road tonight. This isn't a message, but I do feel like somebody needs to hear this. Why aren't you letting God use you? Brother Joe, I read my Bible, I pray, I do all these things, but I just don't feel like God's really using me. Well, here's the problem. Here's what I've learned with God. God doesn't want me to try more. He just wants me to die. If I wake up every morning and say, Holy Ghost, crucify me and live through me, God can get some things accomplished. You want to know what David did that morning? He walked on that battlefield. Brother Mike, he was supposed to be watching those sheep. But when his father gave him orders, he died to everything that he knew and said, I'll go on my father's commands. And that's why he went and fought that giant that day. When you walk into a battlefield, not on your merit, but on the message that somebody else sent you, you will surely overcome your foe and you'll win your fight. That's the motive, the memory of the psalm. But then notice this, the message of the psalm. There's a message of two things, I believe, in Psalms chapter 8. There's a message of God's highness, and there's a message of God's humility. What do you mean, Brother Joe? Look at me, verse number 3. What does the Bible say? When I consider what? Whose heavens? Thy. God's heavens. The work of what? Thy fingers. The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Now grab your Bible and go with me to the book of Isaiah. Chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Miss Joy, will you come help me on piano? I'm about to land this 747. Isaiah 40 and verse number 12. What does the Bible say? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of what? Let's stop right there. I want everybody tonight, would you just take your hand and hold it out like this? Just hold it out. Brother Mike, here's what a lot of us shout about. A lot of us shout that God can measure out the waters, the hollow of His hand. A lot of us think that the hollow of someone's hand is when you cup your hand like this. But I began to look that up, and that's not what the Bible says. It says the hollow of your hand, Gregory. The hollow of your hand is not when you cup your hand, but it's when you hold your hand real flat like this. And the hollow of your hand is that small, minute part right in the middle. How many of us, I mean, I cut my hand and I could probably hold, I don't know, 2-3 ounces comfortably cupping my hand. But how many ounces of water could I hold, Morgan, if I just held my hand out flat and held it in my hollow? Brother Todd, I might could hold 1 ounce without leaking it all over the place like I just did. And God says, I measure out all the water, all of it, right there. Read with me. Measures out the water in the hollow of His hand. But then the Bible says He meted out heaven with what? The span. What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? A God that can hold all the water right here. And He can mete out the heavens like that. That's an awfully big God.
Amen.
But then it gets better. And then the Bible says, and He comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. Just thinking about that. How many of you mamas are about to crawl under your pew because you've got dust in the corner of your house somewhere that nobody knows about except you? I remember when I was growing up, if we had a company coming over, my mom wanted our house to look like nobody lived there. She still does. That's what Dad said. I didn't say that. Dad said that. Brother Todd, my mom could dust twice every day, and there'd still be spots of dust in that house that she couldn't comprehend. She couldn't remember to dust every single time. I read this. There are 17 million metric tons of dust in the earth. And our God is so big that He measures it and He comprehends it. Here's what that means. There's not a speck of dust in all the earth that God doesn't know where it is. What are you saying, Brother Joe? That's an awfully big God. There are 326 quintillion gallons of water in the earth. What does that even mean? Quintillion. Guess what, Brother Mike? Right there. Measured out in the hollow of His hand. It is impossible to calculate all the weight of the mountains in the world. They say that Mount Everest weighs approximately 357 trillion pounds. The Bible says in the last part of verse number 12 that He weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? I'm saying this, that is an awfully big God that is concerned with awfully little people. We're measured in height, hair color, eye color, measured in weight. I'm 5'11", 5'10", 200 none your business pounds. And God is measured by the span of the universe. And Brother Jenkins was helping me. I called him a couple of weeks ago and I was picking his brain. He's so much smarter and all these things. And I said, Dr. Jenkins, I said, I need some help. And we began to talk, and they say that the observable universe, our galaxy, is 12 billion light years across. Which means that if you were to go the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles a second, it would take you 12 billion years to get from one side to the other. And guess what, Brother Kelly? 12 billion light years from God's pinky to God's thumb. That's approximately 671 million miles per hour. Now, I said all that to say this. If you were to take that, and they say that, I believe it's an average span, is 1/12 of an individual's height. So that my span there is exactly 1/12, Brother Ennis, of how tall I am. So let's do the math real quick. Brother Matthew, if it would take 12 billion light years to get from God's pinky to God's thumb, we multiply that times 12. That means God is 144 billion light years tall. That means if you were to go from at the speed of light from His toe to the top of His head, it'd take you 144 billion years. Does that blow your mind? Blows my mind. What are you saying, Brother Joe? I'm saying there's a message of God's highness in this psalm. But then notice the message God's humility. If you haven't heard me say anything else, don't miss this. Look, verse number 4. That's an awfully big God, isn't it? Let's read this question out loud one more time. What is man that thou art mindful of who? Who, church? Mindful of who? Him. A God that is that big is mindful of you. I wake up every morning. Brother Mike, I'm ashamed to say there are days God ain't on my mind. There's never a morning I ain't on His. There's days, 9, I wake up and I go an hour or two and don't even think about Jesus. But there's not a day, Brother Kelly, you wake up and you ain't on His mind. A God that's that big, imagine what He could have given His Son, Greg. Just imagine. Jesus could have said, Father, I want all the universes. Father, I want all the planets to rule and have dominion over. Father, I want the Milky Way galaxy to have my name spelled in it. And in John 17, 2,000 years ago, God the Father looked at His Son and said, whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. You know what Jesus did in John 17? He said, I want them. I want Todd Leonard. I want Kelly Langdon. I want Joseph Alford. I want Gregory Smith. I want Mike Smith. I want Lee Alford. I want Brenda Rigsby. I want Annette Alford. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? God could have given His Son anything if Jesus would have just asked. And Jesus asked for us. He didn't ask for the Milky Way galaxy, and He didn't ask for the rings of Saturn, and He didn't ask for the giant planet called Mars. He didn't ask for all the waters in the earth. He didn't ask for all the fish in the sea. He didn't ask for all the beasts in the field. He said, I want man. That's who I want. That's who I want to purchase in my own blood. I love them. I'm going to give my life for them. And God said, if that's what you really want, son, I'll send the Holy Ghost to draw people to you, and I'll save them by my grace, and I'll give you a bride. That's really what you want. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That God is mindful of us. That don't help you. I don't know how you can be helped. If that doesn't make you want to crawl on an altar and say, thank you, Lord. I don't know what will. The fact that I know how many times I failed Him. The fact that I know my sorry, low down, rotten flesh. And Jesus still said, I want Him. A God that spans the universe with His fingers could have given Him anything. Guess what God gave Jesus? You. Now you hear me. There ain't a bit of Calvinist bone, blood in my body. If I had a Calvinist drop of blood in my body, I'd get a blood transfusion. But do you know that when God saved you, He chose to. He didn't take the choice out of your hand, but He chose to go after you. That was God answering Jesus Christ's request in John chapter number 17. He said, I love my Son so much, I'm going to draw that sinner to myself. I'm going to save him. Because the work my Son did. And then from that day on, they're going to be a joint heir with my Son, Jesus Christ. So can I ask you something? How could you not serve a God like that? How could you not worship a God like that? How could you not praise a God like that? Brother Kelly, don't know exactly how many miles I'm going to do this year, but I know I'm going to do a lot more miles this year than I did last year. And I'll be honest, there's times we get in that little Honda CRV and we're like, well, here we go again. We won't get to sit on our couch for another 4 weeks. We won't get to pet our dog for another 2.5. We won't get to lay in our bed for another 4. And I'll get a little bit stuck up sometimes. And then I get to thinking, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And then I begin to think, you know what, Lord? I don't deserve to drive the 4 weeks you've got me driving. I don't deserve to get to preach to these young people you're letting me preach to. Lord, I don't deserve to get to preach at these churches I get to preach at. What are you saying tonight, Brother Joe? I'm saying this. How could I not serve a God that's been that good to me? And he's been that good to you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You stand with me tonight. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. I pray he has. I've done my best to try and be obedient to the Lord. I've had to remind myself today that a God that is that big, what can he not do? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I was in the hospital and there's a bunch of people in the waiting room there. And I walked in that little room and saw my little papa, oxygen running up his nose. An absolute hero of the faith. General in my book. You ask me, the greatest Christian I know, it'd be Billy Alford. I'm sitting there thinking, we've got our little family, our little friends. We're all walking into that little room. My papa's laying in that little bed. But the things that we could not see, there was a great big God that was thinking of him, that was mindful of him. As we walked out of that hospital, we got in the car, we drove to Clayton, got in the shower real quick, put a suit on real quick, was thinking about where we're heading. There was only one thing in my mind. Who am I that God would think so much of us? Who am I that God would let me preach at Fellowship Baptist Church on this Sunday night in this year and serve him this time? Who am I that God would let me marry a girl from Florida that I didn't have any idea who she was, but he'd give her to me in his perfect time, in his perfect will? Who am I that my last name, September 8th, 2000, my last name would be Alford? Who am I that on August 5th, 2010, I'd be born again? Amen. Who am I that on July 31st, 2018, I'd surrender my life to preach the gospel? Amen. Who am I that week after week, day after day, we get to serve him? I don't have to serve him tonight, I get to. And all I really want you to realize is, I'm not being ugly, but who are you that a God that big, that great, would think of you? Have you been thinking of him? That's the message tonight. What is man that thou art mindful of him?